It's a privilege to be here this morning to worship God with each one of you. I thank and praise God that God is always faithful. Amen. Man will not be faithful, but God is always faithful. And we thank and praise God for that. There are times we cannot trust people, but we know who we can trust. Amen. We can trust our Savior. And it is good to know that in times of difficulties, in times of troubles, in times of hardship, we know who we can go to. Thank you. And this morning, I would like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Amen. Yeah, 14. Father, thank you for your word. I pray this morning that your word will touch every life, so that we will become people who are led by the Spirit. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will touch every word that is being spoken, that you will touch, rejuvenate, reconstruct everything that needs to be done. I commit everything into your hand. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. You know, in another translation, it says like this. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. How it is high time now for you to awake from your sleep. For salvation or final deliverance is near us than we first believed. And we have to put our trust and rely on Christ the Messiah. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us drop the works and the deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably, becomingly as it is day, not in reveling or drunkenness, not in immorality, debauchery, not in quarreling and jealousy. And verse 14, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or the evil cravings to gratify the desires thereof. There are two things that I want to bring forth in this message. This message is going to be very sober. I don't want to, you know, your spirit, you know, I don't want to do something in your spirit so that you will all be standing up and worshiping and praising Lord. But what I want to do is I want to touch your lives today so that you will go back home and think about how God wants you to live. Praise the Lord. First of all, an encouragement. Paul's writing and he's telling to the church in Rome. He says, perceive the times. Look at the times. And the second thing he says is an exhortation to practice the truth. First of all, the time. We all know what time it is. I don't need to tell you what time it is. You see, there are the Greek word that is used here is kairos. There are two types of time. One is the chronos and one is kairos. The chronos is the time that is here right now. It is 12:31. But kairos means a season. A season where the Spirit is trying to tell us that we need to be aware of what is going to happen around us or what is happening around us. And we need to be awakened. We need to awaken the Spirit within us so that we can do what God is calling us to do. It says here, we have many seasons. One is winter, one is summer, and springtime and autumn. And so in the same way, in the spiritual realm, we also have seasons in our lives. But we as believers do not understand the seasons when God is moving and when God is not moving. Because we are so caught up with the things of this world. We are not aware of what God is doing in this world and how we can quicken our minds and our spirits so that we can follow God. You know, in the Old Testament, we find that the church, when they saw the cloud, when the cloud was moving, they moved. But this morning, can I ask you one thing? Do we know the season that God is in right now? We do not. You know why? Because we are caught up in our own things. We have mortgage to pay. We have other payments to do, car payments, everything else. But we do not have the thing that God is trying to speak to us. Our ears have become deaf to what God is doing. Our sight, we have become blind to where God is moving. You know, when God spoke to David, you know, David was asking God, God, do I go for battle against the Philistines? And God says, yes. And so the first time he listened to God and God gave them directions and he won the battle. The second time, David again inquired of the Lord. You know, that is one good thing about David. That is why he was called a man after God's own heart. And he did not follow. He said, last time God gave me this, it is good for this season too. He went to God and he asked God, God, is this how you want me to do? God says, no. He says, watch the top of the trees. When you see the tree moving, you do what I'm telling you to do. Now, many times we are so caught up in doing the same old thing and God is saying, that is not what I want you to do. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I want you to follow that plan. I want you to follow that purpose. And we do not seek the face of God to do what God is asking us to do. God is telling us everything that we need to do must be inquired from God first. Praise the Lord. Every step that we take in our life must be directed by God. Many times we do not inquire God. God, do I need to go in this direction? Do I need to go in this direction? What do you want me to do? You know, the reason why we are not successful, whether it's in the ministry, whether it's in our lives, is because we do not seek the face of God. And Paul is writing and saying, do you know the time? Do you know the time, church? Do you know the time? If you knew the time, you know what is going to happen. There's going to be action. There's going to be conversion. There's going to be change in life. Just like our forefathers were, we are today. We are living in a life or a lifetime where we get up in the morning, we say a word of prayer, go about our daily work, come back in the evening, say a word of prayer, go to sleep. And we have no time for God in between. If this is the Kairos time, then we must do, we must know what we are supposed to do. What does God expect from me? What does God expect from you? It says here, it is time that we realize that the darkness is going to go and the light of God is going to shine upon this place. Because you, I don't know about you, I am praying for an end time revival. And I'm praying to God, God, make me a part of that end time revival. Because before the harvest is come and gone, let me tell you, darkness will be lifted for a season. And God is going to send his light. And there is going to be a harvest. And I'm telling you, people from nations will come to know the Lord. And so our lives and our hearts must be prepared in such a way that we will be focused on the end time revival so that God can bring in that harvest. And he cannot do it by himself. He needs you. He needs me to be the part of that revival. Praise the Lord. We go into countries. We see the times that we are in. We see the prayers have stopped in schools. I'm talking about America. We see countries being persecuted, the persecution in countries increasing. Churches are being shut down. Believers are being harassed and going into difficult things. But God is trying to tell us this morning, no matter what the circumstances, the presence and the power of God is more than sufficient for anything in this world. You know, we have, as believers, we have it so good. We have it so easy. We are not going through persecution. The first century Christians, if they were business people, if they had to do business, they had to sell their product, they had to go into a shopping mall. But before they enter the mall, at the gate of that mall, there was a statue of the Roman emperor. They had to take a pinch of incense, put it in that altar, and they can go and get any lot they want to do business. But they never did. They never did. So they paid the price. What price are you paying for your faith? What price are you paying for your faith? Because we have it too easy. We have forgotten who God is. That means God is trying to tell us, be prepared. Be prepared. You know, things are changing. Baby parts are being sold. Baby murder is rampant. Light and darkness is battling. And this shows one thing, that God is about to move. God is about to move. And are you ready? Are we prepared for the move of God? Are you prepared for the move of God? This is what he says in that verse. He says, besides this, you know the time that is already our to awaken from the sleep. We are still asleep. I'm telling you why. You know, we are looking for the presence of God. Or are we looking for the presence of God? Can I ask you, why did you come here this morning? Did you come seeking the presence of God? Did you expect God to be here this morning? I'm telling you, 99.9% of the church, there's no presence of God. You know why? Because if the presence of God was here, I would not be standing. You know why? In the presence of God, Ananias and Sapphira died for one lie. Imagine how much you and I would be here. We need to sincerely start looking for the presence of God, hungering for the presence of God, desiring the presence of God. Because it is there. You know, if you do not think much about the presence of God, I do. You know why? Because God is looking
for a place where he can move, where he can use people. He's looking for one person who will submit and say, God, here I am, God, take me, use me, no matter what the circumstances, here I am. That is what God is looking for. And God is awakening the church, God is preparing the church, and God is telling the church, awaken, church. You are sleeping, church. Awaken, because the church is what God is an instrument that God is planning to use for the end time harvest, but the church is sleeping. The church is caught up in so many things that they do not know the difference between the presence of God and the presence of the enemy. The church is caught up in things that is not necessary for the church. You know what the church has become? You pay the pastor some money and say, "You, Pastor, you do the ministry, we are going to relax." I asked somebody the other day, in the normal world, who gives birth? The shepherd or the sheep? The shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd's job is to feed the sheep. It's the sheep's job to give birth. We have turned the whole thing around. Now we expect the shepherd to give birth so that the sheep can have a good time. But that is not what the Word of God says. He says he has called us to be sheep. Each one of us are sheep, and God is expecting us to give birth. I'm asking you this year in 2019, this is fourth month, have you spoken to one person about Jesus Christ? Talk about the presence of God. You know what it is? The presence of God will change everything in our life. Will change our church, will change the direction of the church, will change everything. We do not want the presence of God. We want to control God. We want to tell God where to go. We want to tell God how to do it. We want to tell God where to go. You know, we want to control everything, and we will not allow the Holy Spirit to do anything in our lives. And God is saying, if you sincerely desire the presence of God, you would come down and cry out to God and say, God, we sincerely seek your face. Whether it's in the church or in your house, you will be crying out to God and say, God, I seek your face. Where are you? I want to know who you are. God is waiting for his church to seek the presence. It is his presence that will change anything. If you do not believe it, ask the widow of Naim. She has lost every hope. And she was walking down to the last, for the one last time, to bury her hope. Because the last time she went and came back, she had one hope that her son is going to grow up and take care of her. But now she is going to the cemetery. There was no hope at all. But let me tell you, in that hopeless situation, Christ already knew the widow of Naim. And he made it a point to cross her path. I'm telling you, church, if you sincerely seek God with all your heart, he will make it a point to come here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Second thing. Numbers chapter 17 verses 1 to 5. And Aaron's rod blossomed in the presence of God. Aaron's rod blossomed in the presence of God. I'm telling you, whatever it is, you may think it is gone, you may think it is the end, but if you allow the presence of God to come into your life, I'm telling you, whatever is dead, whatever is dried up, God will come and raise it up once again. You know why? Because it's in the presence of God. It is in the presence of God. Nothing can go away from the presence of God. Nothing that is in the presence of God will come out the same way it went in. If you
are being called to be a people that is going to change the world, then what are you doing here, sitting, nothing happening in your life, nothing happening in the world? The church has failed. It is sad to say that, because the church has not known the presence of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew the presence of God. Even though they went through fire, they knew one thing. Even if God does not come, we know that we will still worship that one true God. You know, the presence of God will not let you go through fire even. When you go through fire, He's going to be there. I'm telling you, church, you have to go through fire. You have to go through circumstances, because it is the fire that purifies. It is the fire that destroys what needs to be destroyed. It is the fire that will correct everything that needs to be corrected. You know why? Because it is in that fire, the presence of God is going to be revealed. Praise the Lord. The presence of God can bring change into your home. It can bring change into your family. It can bring change into your neighborhood. It can bring change into your city. It can bring change in your state. And it can bring change into your country. 1995, there was a place called Cali, C-A-L-I, the drug capital of the world, with an estimated 80% of drug traffic in the United States coming from this Cali. It was in South America, in Colombia. They had billions of dollars at their disposal. And in Cali, cartel leaders had huge mansions with 30-foot walls around it. Every day, 15 people were killed. And the drug lords owned banks and police departments and businesses. And you know what? Even the church failed. You know why? Because each person had their own church, had their own division, had their own denomination. And you know what happened? One missionary pastor, Julio Ruibal, God convicted him. And he went to every pastor and he said, "Can you forgive me? Because I've been selfish." And what happened? Julio was shot dead by the drug people. 1,500 people, 1,500 Christians came to his funeral. The pastors then took an oath that they will walk in unity. One day, there was a call for prayer. 27,000 responded to the pastor's call for a night of fasting and prayer and repentance. The main petition was, "God, would you deliver us from violence?" And the mayor also prayed. And he said, "Cali belongs to Jesus Christ." The next day, the newspaper headlines read, "No homicide." For the first time in the memory of that city, within the 24-hour period, not one person was killed. The second time, 30 days, 3 months later, the Christians went again and they prayed and they implored God, they begged God, and they said, "God, save the city from corruption." 900 police officers were fired from corruption charges, along with a number of key officials. Then 90 days again later, 3 months, the third time, they had an all-night prayer which saw 60,000 people fill a soccer stadium. And they cried out to God and said, "God, save us from the grip of the warlords, drug lords." And a few days later, 6,500 police officers came and arrested every cartel leader they knew about. You think the presence of God cannot change a nation? The problem is we don't pray.
You know why we don't pray? Because we all have our own agenda. We do not have God's agenda in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what God is calling this church. You want to be a nation changer? Do what God is calling you to be. They experience the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11 and 12. It says, the burden of Duma, one calls to me from Seir, watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? And the watchman said, morning comes, yet also it is night. If you would inquire, come back again. Can I ask you, you came to Toronto. God has placed you as a watchman over Toronto. Have you been praying? There are hundreds of people that are committing suicide. There are hundreds of people that are looking for answers. There are hundreds of people that are looking for a way out. Have you prayed? Have you sought the face of the Lord? I am telling you, when God comes back and you stand in front of him, all these people that went before you, all these people that committed suicide, all the people that went into drugs will be passing before you, and you have to answer God with their blood. There are people that are crying out for deliverance. There are people that are crying out for freedom. There are people that do not know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are young people that are dying by the thousands. There are young people that are going down to drug addiction and alcoholism and Satanism and New Age movement while the Christian church is sleeping. And you know what? We run after prophets, after prophets, after prophets to find out what is my future, what is my future, what is my future. I will tell you what your future is. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That is your future. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We do not seek the kingdom of God. We do not do the work of God. And we still want the things of the kingdom of God. Ezekiel, I've called you to be a watchman. And we have become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who sit down and, you know, theologically they want to split hairs, cut hair, cut hair, cut hair to find out what is the truth. And they know the truth, but they cannot do the truth. God is trying to awaken his church. And he's telling us, church, wake up. You know why? Today the church is far away. God is far away from the church. I'll tell you. Because you ask Jeremiah, he will tell you. He says in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, O hope of Israel, Savior in time of trouble, why are you like a stranger in the land? Why are you like a stranger in the land? Or like a traveler who stays for a night? Why are you like a man overcome, like a champion who cannot save? Yet you, Adonai, are in the midst, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. You know, Jeremiah is saying, God, you are just a passing person. You are no more staying with us anymore. Your presence does not manifest in our churches. Your presence does not manifest in our homes. Why, God? Why? Many times we sing songs, we worship God in spirit, and we clap our hands, and you know, we feel also excited, and the hair on our hands is standing up because we think we have met God. I'm telling you, there is only one thing in that. You're just having an emotional trip. Because when you have had the presence of God, that presence will change your relationship with him.
The second, he says, church awaken. Church awaken. Why is the church sleeping? The church is sleeping. Why? Because of inactivity. Two, dullness. Three, lethargy. Four, unawareness. Five, apathy. Four, ignorance. Six, inattention. Isn't that what is happening in all the churches today? Watch the seasons, watch the sleep. You know why many of us are in the state of inactivity? Because we have mindless entertainment. You turn on the TV, you can watch what you want, when you want, how you want. Your children watch the same thing. You want them to keep you want to keep them out of your hair, put on the TV and give it to them. Number two, we have soul-numbing materialism. Praise the Lord. We pursue worldly success. And we get into depression. And then you know what happens? The church, because it's far away from God, we are nursing hate, grudge against one another. We hold some bitterness that happened some time ago. You know, I prayed a few years ago. I went to church, and it was a Wednesday. And this pastor asked me, can you, share the word? I said, no problem. I shared the word, and I sat down. The pastor said, can you pray for people? I said, okay, I'll pray for people. And he told me to pray for two people. And this lady, she is about 75, 80 years old. I asked her, what do you want me to pray for? She said, my blood pressure is very high. I said, okay, that's no problem. So I was praying for her, and the Lord said she's got bitterness. So I asked her, who do you need to forgive? She said, my stepmother. So I said, where's your stepmother? She's dead and gone. I said, what is the point in keeping this? She's dead and gone. Why are you keeping this grudge? I said, can you forgive her? She said, yes. I said, you look to God and you ask God to forgive. And she forgave. At that very moment, I prayed for her. She got healed of that high blood pressure. Praise the Lord. You know, half of our sickness is because of grudge, because of bitterness that we hold inside. And you do not know how much it affects the heart. There were some sleepers in the Bible that went to sleep at the wrong time and they missed out. Jacob, when he woke up, realized that he missed God. Samson, he lost his strength while he was sleeping. Jonah slept through the storm and nearly sank the whole ship. Peter, James, and John slept in Gethsemane when the Lord needed them the most. Last week I was meditating on the book of Mark. I was in the last chapter of Mark in my morning devotion. And I came to this passage and I was reading about how many times Jesus went to the disciples and prayed and said, he took the three disciples and went to the garden and said, stay here, my heart is heavy. I want you to watch and pray. I'm going to pray a little far off. And you know what? He came back and found them sleeping. Three times. And the Lord said, how many times have I depended on you and you have let me down? And I sat down and cried. I said, Lord, many times that you depended on me, I let you down. The last thing, watch for the Savior. Watch for the Savior. Do you know he's coming back? You know, I always tell the church, the first century church worked, did the ministry like Jesus was coming that day. And you know what?
We don't care when he comes. We hope that, you know, he'll take a little time to come because I've got a lot of things to do. Church, wake up. Wake up. I'm telling you, God has called us. We have such a big ministry ahead of us, you know, and God is calling us to be awakened so that we can run this course and stand before God and say, God, here is all the believers that I have for you. God will not give you a crown because you've got $1 million in the bank. God will not give you a crown because you worked 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. God will not give you a crown because you came every day to church. Because the only mandate that you will get a reward for is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It is for that that God is going to give you a crown. It says, the night is almost gone, the day is near. Let us put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and envy. Instead, put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua and not making provision for the flesh and its craving. Unless you put on Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you will be worldly for the rest of your life. I don't want to go, time is gone. Habakkuk 2 verses 1 to 3 says, I will take my stand, I will stand at the post and station myself at the rampart. I will watch to see what he says to me and I will answer regarding my argument. Then Adonai answered to me and said, write down the vision, make it plain on the tablets so that the reader may run with it. And for the vision is for an appointed time. It is hastens to come to an end and it will not fail. If it should be coming slow, If it should be slow in coming, wait for it will surely come. It will not delay. And so Habakkuk is saying, I will take my stand. I will station on my rampart. I will watch and wait to see what God is saying. What is God saying to you? When did you hear God last? God is calling us to be a people of prayer. Praying, hide. He was a man who was in the, who came from the U.S. and his prayer was, God, give me souls or I die. This became the plea of John Hyde. In 1908, when he came to Punjab, he said he was anguished by the sight of sins and soul, doomed to hell. Do we have, when you see your neighbor, when you see your relatives, when you see your people who work with you, when you look at them, do you know that they're going to hell? And is your heart burdened for them? In March 1911, Hyde said goodbye to India. This is something that really puzzled me. His heart had shifted in his chest. Where is your heart? Left? This man's heart, because of souls, that's what I believe, moved to the right. This is what history says. I do not know the truth. He came back. He was preaching. And he found out that he had brain tumor. On February 17th, 1912, he died. And you know what the last words were? He said, shout the victory of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 My dear brothers and sisters, my Jesus is coming back soon. Each one of us have a report card. When you go to the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, you see all the report cards of the churches. Every church that thought they were doing very well, God says, I've got something against you. And every church that thought that they were doing very bad, God said, I know what you are doing. What is your report card going to be? What is your report card going to be? The church in Laodicea, Jesus said, you are neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. God has called the church. You know, the church in Laodicea, the city of Laodicea had two wells or two springs. One was hot water and the other one was cold. When it was hot, people used to go there. You know, it was good medicinal value. People used to get to go there and get healed. And the other one was a cold one, where they wanted to relax. When they wanted to get away all their burdens, they used to go there. The Laodicea church thought, let us bring it all together. And you know what? The city of Laodicea tubed both these waters together. When it came to Laodicea city, it was nothing but rubbish. The church has called to do two things, to be good to people. We are called so that people, when they go through difficult times, will come and we will be a help. When people are going through sickness, we are called to be people who can do the healing. But you know what? We have mixed everything together and the church has become useless now. The church has become useless. And God says, this is not what I called you for. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 18. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This morning, can I ask you, are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to walk with Him? Are you going to seek His face? Are you going to walk with Him? Are you going to look for His presence? Are you going to hunger for His presence? Are you going to thirst for His presence? Can we all stand up in the presence of God? I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand or anything like that. I want you to make up your mind. Stand up in the presence of God. Put your hand up in the presence of God. Not to me. You know, the hand of your heart. And say, God, I want to seek your presence. I will neither look to the left nor to the right, but I will seek your presence. Hannah went to the temple. She sought the presence of God. And she prayed. Nobody understood her. God says, will you seek his presence? Number two, do you know the time? Do you know the time? Number three, are you going to walk? Put away all the things of darkness. Are you going to put on Jesus Christ? Are you going to be a testimony for him? Are you going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? So that this year, that you will have a great harvest in your life and in the life of this church. Can we take a moment of silence and commit our lives to God? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Your word will not come back empty unless it fulfilled the purpose. I pray, God, that you will touch this church, touch every believer who has heard the sound of this voice, that you will not give them peace, you will not give them rest, O God, till they come to know you and do the things that you have called them to do. And I pray that you will awaken this church. Awaken this church, O God, that it will be a light to this neighborhood, that it will be a light to, Lord, to Toronto, that your name may be honored and glorified, because your coming is very soon. The darkness It's going to go. The light is going to come. And Lord, we know the light of eternity is before us. Help us to walk and live in that light. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity.